Welcome to Chats for You. I'm James Walker, and this is the podcast where I try and talk to people I like, and they sometimes let me. Great premise, right? Great premise for a podcast. I'm a fan of it, certainly. In this 49th episode, Josie Long returns to the podcast, which is very exciting. But just before we get to that, guys, I'll fill you in on how I'm getting on with my attempts to get the Avengers onto the podcast. Right now, there's some Avengers that are in Edinburgh filming scenes for the next Avengers film. So I thought, because they're big stars, it'd be quite nice to get them on the podcast, and I'm sure some of them are lovely people. In my attempts to try and get them onto the podcast, I sent out the following tweet. Avengers, this is an official invite to appear on my podcast while you're in Edinburgh. Please contact my people, in brackets me, to arrange. Thanks. So I sent that tweet out, and guys, I don't want to speak ill of these Hollywood types, but none of them have got back to me. Like, zero of them. None. If I need to emphasize that anymore. Like, none. And listener of the podcast, Johnny has chipped in with this. He said that the stone cold silence from Johansson, RDJ, etc. on this is frankly baffling. And Johnny, I'm right there with you, man. This is shocking. This is such a big scandal. I don't know if that's the right word. I'm going to use it though. It's a scandal, guys, that they've not got back to me. But just in case they've maybe been busy with other stuff. I don't know what they'd be busy with, but I've done a follow-up tweet just to like remind them, just a wee reminder. So this is what I've sent out. Guys, come on. You're cutting it fine here. Did I forget to say I'm a nice boy? Because I am. Hope that helps. Please contact ASAP. So what I'd forgot to mention in the first tweet, I think, and this is maybe what made them decide, oh, I don't know whether to get back in touch. I didn't say I'm a nice boy, and that's probably what was like holding them back from getting in contact. So now they know I'm a nice boy, and I should expect a call any second now. I might add a sound effect there of a phone ringing and me being all, oh, it's getting in touch, are we? So, back to the chat. So, this is my second chat with Josie Long. Big fan of Josie's, as we all should be. And it was very nice for her to agree to appear on the podcast again. We have a lot of fun. It's a really nice chat. I think you will enjoy it. And just for anyone wondering, because the title of the episode is Josie Long 2, Josie Longer, which, by the way, I was way too pleased with. Way too pleased with myself when I thought of that, even though it's a very easy thought to have. So that is the title, and it is actually longer than the first episode with Josie as well. So it works both comically and factually. But anyway, guys, here is the main production of this podcast. Josie Long and James Walker starring in Josie Long 2, Josie Longer. Please enjoy with some popcorn or other. Josie, as we have already met.
Yes.
I don't feel there's a need, because last time we did a chat warm-up where we kind of did a thing
course,
where we kind
of
broke the ice. That's already, we've already met, so we don't need to do that.
The ice is long.
We know so much about each other. Like, what's my name? You know my name, right?
It's James.
Yeah, it's James. There we go. When's my birthday?
I'm going to just guess.
Yeah. Guess is amazing.
Okay, I'll go month first.
Yep, that's a good way to do it. Yep. Okay. You're staring at me quite intently. Anything else you need me to do? I'll move around a bit.
September?
No.
But it's near September.
No.
Okay, February?
Well, That's so close.
January.
Yes.
January the 19th.
One of the numbers is right. So you can guess which one. No, 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 no.
29th.
No. Let's see. Yes, not.
The 11th.
So, like... I mean, this is... that the 11th is proper.
This is eerie, isn't it? Your name is James, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, good. I was so worried that I'd just gone like... But of course then... Right. Oh, God, I hate things like that. Do you get that anxiety where... I get anxiety about names where I freak out so much that I daren't call anyone by their name in case I get their name.
Right. And what's the thing you use instead? Like, I say man quite a lot. Thanks, man.
I just don't even do anything like that. I'll just be like, thanks, or hi.
Thanks.
I just don't do it because I hate the idea of it. But I don't know why, because I can't remember a time in my life where I got someone's name wrong and it was awful.
Yeah, it's not like a tragic incident. No.
But I think it's that, I tell you what it is. It's because if you're a comedian, quite often what happens is male comedians' girlfriends come along and they often get treated really badly by other male comedians. Like, they act like they're not important to them.
Right.
And then I get a complex that I don't want to add to that shit. So I don't want to forget people's girlfriends, wives' names.
Yeah, okay.
Because I don't want to... And then it freaks... I think it comes from that.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so boring. I'm so sorry.
No.
Sorry. Telling you my special chat.
Yeah. So you...
Your birthday is the 13th of January.
Other way. No, can you were close.
12th of January.
Yes,
oh my God!
There we go.
That was like Psychic Sally.
Yeah. And Josie, in editing, I can make you look amazing. I can make you look so good just by cutting out a lot of that. So I think we know a lot of each other. We covered that, so we don't need to go over that again. We know each other pretty well. Birthday exactly. Yes,
I do, and I guessed it first time.
Yeah, cool. And so the last time we did speak, it was around, for the podcast, was about 2.5 years ago. Quite a while ago, and I asked about a uniform that all your audience could wear, like a Josie Long outfit.
Yeah.
And we worked out that your ideal audience would exclusively be full of little old ladies with grey jumpsuits that have lightning bolts on them.
Oh, yeah.
Has this happened yet, or are younger people still coming to your shows and ruining it?
Absolutely. It's been a nightmare. I never get the old lady crowd I deserve. The only time it's happened is on... I did a show in New York and it was in this theatre where a lot of like old wealthy Manhattanites come to the theatre and fall asleep. And I did get two very old Manhattan stylish ladies down the front, and I mentioned MDMA in the show, and one turned to the other and went, "What's MDMA?" And the other one went, "Drugs." And that was incredible. But no jumpsuits. Yeah. Not a single jumpsuit.
No, not a single. Do you think this might be the night tonight at the Stand that everyone pulls through for you?
Oh, I'd love it so much. Do you know what's funny?
Because I could have put word out without you knowing.
Oh my God. If it did. You have no
I mean, I am coming, so my evil night, I'll ruin it. I'll ruin my own creation if it's not full of...
That'd be a big shame.
Yeah.
But what's funny is, I was thinking when you were saying that, I was thinking, I wonder what I said back then, because I can't remember. And then as I said it, I was like, I would love that! Wow, I really know what I like.
And changed topics quite a bit. So I used to work in an escape game.
Yeah.
And you did that with some members of the Spook School.
Yes, I loved it.
But
I was very gutted because I really, really thought we were going to get on the leaderboard, and we were so close.
You were very close. It was like a minute off or something, I remember.
And it was a very intense, almost physical level of disappointment because I felt like we were a wonderful team and we only really failed on, there was like a very physical part
at the end.
And that's only really what brought us down. And... yeah, it was a very wonderful experience, but it was bittersweet because I felt like we were so...
Yeah.
And it was our first time working as a team, you know?
Yeah. So you did work very well as a team. I like that you kept the mystery about the end bit. You said, it's just a very physical bit. I'm not telling you what happened.
Yeah, I didn't want to...
Yeah. It's very, very good that you did that. So let's say you could, other than the Spook School, because they're obviously great...
A delight.
You could pick any three famous figures to join you on a team to do an escape game. Who would you pick and why?
Okay, so what I think I would want is I would want someone, for example, with the Krypton Factor, I want someone who was good at each of the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd want an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd want like Serena Williams.
Yeah.
You know, top of the game. Absolute top of the game. Also, tennis is good because they're quite like a solo decision maker.
Yeah.
But then, of course, not a team player. But then I suppose she does do doubles, but...
Yeah. I think if there were more than two people, she'd just break down.
Well, then this is a big problem. Yeah. But what's good is we could each do different games. I'd take Williams. I'd take... then I'd want someone who had like a very smart, like academic problem-solving style mind. I don't know who I would take. This is heartbreaking. Yeah. I find it hard to pull names out of the air.
That's all right.
So I guess I would... I've got Williams.
Yeah, you got Williams.
She's in the bank.
Yeah. She's there.
Well, at the moment, if I was obsessed with it, I'd like to have someone like Adele. I'm a bit obsessed with Adele at the moment. I'd like to have Adele. I just think she'd be a strong asset on the team.
Yeah, okay.
She'd be confident, and she's got a beautiful voice.
Yeah. Do you think... Would you want her to like help with the puzzles or just sing you as you're solving, sing to you as you're solving
sing
puzzles?
To me. Just yeah. sing to me. Yeah. That's all I would like. Mm-hmm. And then...
she's probably shit at puzzles. I don't know anything about her. But
well, she's a good songwriter.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
That's a creative brain.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to start a beef to get more listens. Like a beef with Adele.
I just want Adele to know if she's listening that I am not part of this and I think you're a genius. I think you're a delight and I'm proud of you. And I would love to see what you come up with next, Adele. I cannot wait to hear it.
Adele, come at me.
Do you know who else I would like is... you know I've got a banner in my show at the moment that says, Adele is a genius, come at me. So already the beef is fully established. Do you know what? I've been listening a lot to Frank Ocean. Let's get him in the team.
Okay, cool.
Because at the very least, I've got to hang out with three people I really like.
Yeah, that is good.
And if we don't win... Who cares?
Yeah.
It's been a great
Well, thank you, mate, because you might be a bit better about not being on there.
Yeah, I do love to do that. My boyfriend is actually very, very good. We do a lot of cryptic crosswords together. Mm. I think he's very
Have you done another one since, or is that the only one that you've
done? It's the only one I've done, and okay. I meant to do one. I nearly did one in Malaga on holiday with my boyfriend, but then suddenly we were like, if it's in Spanish, we are royal.
Yeah.
Unless the question is, ¿Dónde está Correos?
Yeah. I mean, that'd be a short puzzle.
Yeah.
Is that one question that you might not answer to. Right now you are touring your show, Something Better.
Yes.
When I came to see you do the work in progress during The Fringe, you were already out on stage when the audience came in, like playing music off your phone and stuff like that. And I really liked that. So I'm just wondering, like, where did that idea come from to do that?
Well, a few years ago I used to do a thing where I would, like, play music on my phone and sort of come out and say hi, but then hide. But right. I wouldn't sing along.
Yeah, yeah.
And I used to really enjoy it because it's just very daft. To be like, it's me! And also, like, for me, what I like with my shows is to create an atmosphere of informality. Mm-hmm. And I like to undermine the status I might have as a performer. I want my status to be kind of as low as possible. Mm-hmm. I want people almost thinking, like, what is this mad woman in distress doing? Because then I feel like you almost catch people by stealth. Like, it solidifies gradually and slowly, and then people... suddenly realise they're in the show and you know what you're doing. But also, I just think it's a fun way to win people around before the show. Mm. So you basically get a free compere, and you're the compere, and you muck around and stuff. Yeah, so that's what I do, and I like it, and I love to sing. It's such a delight. So yeah, I'm doing that. Yeah.
So was that just for The Fringe show?
No, I've been doing it on tour.
You're doing it on tour
I'm
going
to do it tonight as well. Yeah. Now what I'm doing mainly is singing along to the Pina Colada song.
Right, yep, that is very... I worked out recently that I don't know where I got this from or how I worked it out, but you can say the best David Bowie impression I can do is saying the words Pina Colada.
How do you do it?
Pina Coladas.
Oh yeah, Pina Colada. I can't do it. I'll have a pina. I can't do it. What would I say? David Bowie. Pina Colada.
David Bowie wants a pina colada.
It's very good.
Thank you. Should I do that now, impressions? Is that my thing?
Yeah, it's like my friend saying, if you want to do a Geordie accent, you have to say, John Paul Gaultier's come and mend the photocopier. I can't do it.
John Paul Gaultier's come and mend the photocopier. I got what you're saying.
And no, I can say, there's no time. That's my Liverpudlian accent. There's no time. I'm terrible at accents.
Good chatting now about this book school. So, how did you first come to know about this book school?
Through my friend's puppies, who they were their band that did the theme tune to their sitcom a while back. And also, I think it was through knowing some musicians up in Scotland.
Okay.
And sort of through that, yeah, gradually becoming aware of them, yeah.
Because they're mates of mine, I take any opportunity given to mention that they're friends of mine.
Nice.
Because I feel it makes me seem cooler, as a result.
I'm like that with Skins, because I...
Yeah, I'm just wondering, is there any other people or bands that you do that with?
Dev Patel. I constantly will say... I actually directed a short film with Dev Patel in 2007. Dev Patel is my friend. You know the international film star Dev Patel? Yeah, that's my friend.
Yeah.
And by friend, I mean, we definitely would be friendly if we were to meet again, but I haven't spoken to him for 10 years. But he's definitely my friend. And I would say, anyone, because I was involved with Skins, and it was such an amazing opportunity, it was such a lovely thing to do. And everyone involved in that has gone on to do such wonderful things.
Mm.
So anyone from Skins, I feel really like, that's my team. That's my friend. And I feel especially very big sisterly towards a lot of them, because they're all about kind of 10 years younger than me. And I just feel really proud of them, even though I have no right to. But I'm so many of them, Hannah Murray is the most incredible woman, incredible actor, wonderful person. Dan Kaluuya, same thing, incredible talent, great human being.
So excited to see Get Out.
Oh my God, me too. Also I'm sad about it, because Dan, I just love him so much, and I'm so proud of everything he does. But with this, it just seems like I've never known someone that I really cared for being in a horror film, and I'm a little bit I don't want to see you be brutalised.
I don't know how I don't see many horror films, so I don't know how I'm going to cope with. I don't know if I cope well with horror.
It seems like a wonderful film, and it seems really good. And it's really great. Yeah, Skins is my thing I show off most about.
Yeah.
Really show off about that.
Yeah, him. You've got Jack O'Connell as well.
Oh my God, the only people I really know are the people from the first two series.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's when I was really...
I'm getting mixed up with all my series of Skins. Okay, so now we'll have an ad break for some promotion.
Okay.
So what this is just any items that you quite like to promote. Because I right now, I don't have an official sponsor. It'd be good for me to get one.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that if we just say a bunch, one of them might stick.
Okay.
And then they can be my sponsor.
Okay, I'll tell you things I like. I like Bounce protein balls.
Right.
I eat those guys 24/7. I like Vita Coco coconut water. And I feel sorry for them, because they are the brand leaders, the best at what they do. And I am not into branding or brands or merchandise, but they work really, really hard to bring coconut water to hipsters. And then Bloody Innocent, owned by the Coca-Cola company, usurped them, pushed them out of all the supermarket chains.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Unacceptable. Vita Coco, still repping you. Oh, I can advertise. This is Johnny and the Baptist. Is my boyfriend is one of them, but you can guess which one. Knowing, and I'll give you a hint. My type is guys with ginger beards. So that's a good hint. But yeah, they're doing a tour, and I'll promote that because I've seen their flyer. They're in a lot of the venues I'm in. They're great. It's a great show. It's wonderful. I would say that, even if all.
So then they might become my official sponsors then, and
yeah,
they can get branded on my podcast on the guitar and stuff like that.
Yeah, they could do a jingle. They 100% would. You should interview them when they're in Edinburgh.
Oh, well,
they're great guys.
I'd love to do that. Yeah.
Set you up with that. I'd also like to advertise, as always, Joanna Newsom, my favourite, the greatest thing in the world. Frank Ocean's album Blonde. Mm-hmm. I think it's a bit old, but oh my fucking God. He's incredible. I'd like to also, there's a song by Getz. I think it's by Getz. Give me 10 seconds. I'm just finding it, but I didn't mean to do this. Song by Getz called Know My Ting. Absolutely great. It's a very dirty verse in it about condoms, though, but. Yeah, it's by Getz, Know My Ting, it's called. What else can I have for you? Oh, there's some absolutely fantastic graphic novels.
I'm going to say it differently, because the way you're speaking now suggests that I've got to be... I don't know, just listen to it a bit differently.
I tell you what, I recommend The Art of Jack Teagle.
Right, okay.
Julia Scheel, Tom Humberstone, Christina Bajinski.
Right.
They're really great. I don't know what else to recommend, but I feel like that's a good start.
Yeah, that was a lot of very good recommendations. And I will say... So last time you were on, I would have asked you my trademark question. Okay?
What's your trademark question?
Trademark question is, you covered quite a lot of stuff. What do you like? Okay.
Oh, that's a great question.
So you've already asked you that last time, and your answers last time, I can tell you what they were. So they were performing.
I like that.
In jokes.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Good food.
I do.
Good wine.
I do, actually.
Good laughs.
I do.
Exercising.
I do.
And then you specified swimming.
Yeah.
Climbing.
Yeah.
You were going climbing that day, you're excited about it. The sea.
I love the sea.
Water.
I knew what I was up to. This is all classic on brand for me.
Rivers.
Yeah.
Sort of covered in water, but fine. Sunshine.
Yeah.
All those, all kind of things you finished off at the end there.
I do. Yeah. I say, do you know what? If there's one thing you can expect from the Josie Long brand.
Yeah. JL. Big JL.
The Big JL. If there's one thing that I know about myself is I'm consistent. I'm forgetful, but I'm consistent. I often do this to like friends of mine. I'll go like, I'll tell them something with exactly the same intonation and emotion behind it 3 or 4 times. And they'll be like, you've told me that, but you did tell me it in exactly the same way. And I think I like that. I like, I do sort of just like the experience of being alive a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when I'm grumpy, I really don't.
Oh.
So like most of the time I'm operating at about a 9 out of 10. But then I'm like a 2, a solid 2 for 3 days. And don't come near me for that. But yeah.
So here's a new question of mine. So I think about merchandise. Okay, chatting about your brand and that. If there were to be a Josie Long action figure, what would its look be? Like the apparel you think you wear the most? And then who would your arch nemesis be in this world?
Oh, this is amazing.
Like, imagine there's going to be a film about it as well. You've got to have a big battle with the arch nemesis. People can get the toy.
I think there'd be 2 looks me. It would be like ill-fitting jeans, a baggy jumper that said a slogan on it that I'd knitted on it. Not knitted, sewn on it. So the slogan would be like, punch Nazis or something. Yeah, a bit of fun. And it would be a bobble hat. And then it would be like a parka and a rucksack. That'd be look one.
Look one.
But look two would be, I've recently started a relationship, or for some reason I've decided I'm going to dress up for a party. And that would be like a nice dress, a bit of makeup, same shoes, very important. Rucksack, big jacket, bubble hat. Those would be my 2 looks. My nemesis would be like, oh, some fucking alt-right fucking jerk who's fucking not at me online, and they'd be all bloody, have a big fight. Do you know what it'd be? It'd be that, things he's not, like, these people aren't really my nemesis, but it'd be like that prick, the Prison Planet prick. Like, one of these guys who, like, is an alt-right guy online, like, or like, I'd happily take on a big gun. If I could have a fight, I'd have a fight with Farage. I'd take him right out. Aaron Banks, the sinister racist head of Leave.eu. Sinister.
Yeah, so one of them, like, they could be a set that you'd get, that you'd...
100%.
Like, they'd all be in a line, and then you'd face off against them. Like,
yeah.
Action figure-wise.
100%.
Cool. So on an episode of Nevermind the Buzzcocks that you guested on quite a while ago, National Fucking Treasure, Stephen Fry, sang a tune to you during the intros round.
Yeah.
Have you managed to move on from this, or is it still all you ever think about?
Do you know, I've let that go. It was a funny experience. Mm. I kind of find panel shows quite intimidating in general. And I think back then I just wasn't really sure enough of myself to do that kind of thing. So I found the whole experience quite intense. And
yeah. I've heard that from, like, when other people, like Adam Buxton, wrote something about doing a Buzzcocks and found it intense. But I think when Amstel started to host it, it gave it like a new sense of levity from like when Lamar was doing
Best.
He's the best.
He's such a cool guy. Like, Simon Amstel, I have so much respect for the way he has led his career and his life. Like, I think he's somebody who thinks really intensely, and he's somebody who works really, really hard and diligently. Fucking great.
Yeah. I will say he's like my favourite comedian, and it was like off a recommendation of his that I watched a film that then made me vegetarian and then vegan.
Wow.
So yeah.
He got meat off you. Yeah. He tricked you out of meat.
Has there been any other like truly surreal moments like that?
Yeah.
That you can think of in your career?
I think what's amazing about like this job, especially stand-up comedy, is because it's like gig after gig after gig, thing after thing after thing. There's no consistency to it. And so literally what happens is one day somebody drops the most wonderful thing into your life.
Yeah.
And then you do that. And then what's weird is you can't rely on it. So you have to kind of get to a point where you're zen about it. You're like, nothing might ever happen again. But if something does happen, it might be the greatest thing. So I did this incredible, incredible thing at the end of 2013, which was called the Atlantic Ocean Music and Comedy Festival, which was organised by Maximum Fun, who are like a podcasting network. And it was a cruise in the Caribbean, And they booked like me and loads of amazing American comedians like Kurt Brownoller and Eugene Merman and Wyatt Cenac and Jonah Ray and just so many people that I think are amazing, and loads of amazing musicians like Dan Deacon, John Darnielle from the Mountain Goats. It was so great. And basically, and John Hodgman, all these people that I just met and like, and now would say are my friends. And basically, we got given a 5-day cruise in the Bahamas, and we got to do the best gigs I've ever done in my life. There were like 6 free meals a day, a meal between breakfast and brunch, and then a meal between brunch and lunch.
What are they called?
They don't even have a name.
Oh my God.
Yeah. There's a meal between afternoon tea and dinner. Like, this is what we're talking about here. Yeah. There was an outdoor hot swimming pool that was open all night that you could go in. I'm telling you, it was the greatest experience of my life. Anyway, so basically, that kind of intense thing, I was just like thinking, how is this possibly my life? And like, and it is bizarre because, you know, you then sort of like, you know, obviously there's times then when you're dying on your ass in Lyme Regis or whatever, or, you know, people are very rude to you, or you're humiliated in defeat, or you audition something you really want to do and you don't get it, or you write a pilot and it goes into development for a year and it gets turned down, or there's plenty of rejection, there's plenty of hard stuff, but things like that, you go, oh, actually my life is the most incredible life in the world and I have nothing to ever complain about. It's kind of amazing.
I've got some people, some fan questions.
This is incredible.
Questions from fans.
I'm so flattered that anyone would be interested in asking me questions.
No, thank you. A lot of people are, yeah. My mate Joe Hollingworth, he says, I was lucky enough to see Josie and Sarah Millican do a double-header preview in 2007.
Lancaster. Yeah.
And see Josie's show, Cara Josephine, on DVD last year. What does Josie think has most changed about her as a person, as her act in the last 10 years? And what does she hope will have changed about her as an act and as a person in 2027?
Oh,
so he's really showing me up with the deepest and best question yet.
That's an incredible question. I think in some ways I feel quite sad because I think between 2007 and now, you know, 2007 I was like 24, 25. All kinds of big things have happened to me in the last 10 years. In some ways, up until I was 25, literally everything I wanted to happen in my career happened at the time I wanted it to happen. And then since then, a lot of things I've wanted to happen haven't happened, because that's normal. That's a normal experience of having a career. But I think it was hard in a way to have had so much luck up until that run to accept and adjust to that. And the same thing, in 2007, I fell in love really, really deeply with someone and we had a relationship for 4 years. And then after that, I ended it and I was kind of all over the shop for like 5.5 years, really. 5 years, I was all over the shop emotionally, really. And this is a bit like sharing, but I went to therapy in about 2009, for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. Which is a long time, but like, was dealing with like some fucked up things with my childhood and stuff like that. And so like, a lot of big things happened personally, and also professionally things happened. And professionally, I went from 2007, I was only doing my second show, and I had done a year of touring as a performer in my own right, but now I've done like 10 solid years of touring as a performer. So a few things have happened. Like, I think I'm a lot more comfortable with myself and more self-assured. But I think, you know, the politics for the last 7 years has been unremittingly fucking disgraceful. So I think there's a lot more angst to me now. But I also think I'm a bit more of a rounder human being, because I'm willing to talk about anger and angst and difficulty, whereas before I only wanted to talk about the positive. And whilst I think that can also be good, I think that's not a full experience of being a human.
Right.
I also think I just am a bit older and wiser. Like, I went through this heartbreak and I went out with people who treated me like dirt, and I had gained a lot more experience in life, you know? So it's interesting. I think as a performer, I've benefited from 10 years of solid touring. I feel like being on stage now is complete and total playtime. Whereas 10 years ago, I was still reeling from like getting online abuse. I was scared of the crowd often. And I just didn't quite feel like I inhabited it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now I feel like I get to choose exactly what I want to do on stage. And that the only limits are my own limit. Like, I don't know. I feel more confident than ever in lots of ways.
Yeah, so that's very good. It's very, very nice to hear that.
Thanks.
Very quick one from Sam Schaefer. Grapes or raisins?
Grapes.
Right, cool. Yeah. Next time.
Didn't have to think about it.
So my mate Simon is in a band called The Big Nowhere. And I don't know how aware you are of this, but you contributed to the artwork of their first album. You did like a drawing.
Did I?
Yeah, you did a drawing. I can show you it later once we're on it.
I'm a great lad.
So I think they asked on Twitter and then you'd contribute the drawing or something.
Oh, that would have been, there was one night about 6 years ago where I was like, guys, if anyone wants me to draw you a picture, I'll do it straight away. Yeah.
So it was, he suggested that. And then, so once you were the first to do it and then others joined, including like Neil Gaiman, he did one as
Bloody
well.
Bloody hell, yeah, that's cool.
So, and that album ended up being worthy of preserve in the National Archive as the first completely DIY album.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
So it's like, I'll read what Simon wrote because he explains it more than me. But the first two albums were not only written and performed by us, but produced, engineered, mixed and mastered in his house using whatever equipment they had. And then a couple of weeks after the release of the second album, they received an email from the National Archive of the British Library asking if they could donate copies of everything they've done. And they said they considered the albums and their artwork artifacts worthy of preservation for future generations of the British public. And they would be the first truly DIY bands alongside unsigned artists Led Zeppelin and Beatles and Pink Floyd in the National Archive.
That's the coolest thing.
And you contributed to the artwork of their first album.
I feel so embarrassed that I don't yet know the music. That sounds amazing. What a cool thing.
Yeah, so they're called DIY The Big Forever. Nowhere. And I'll link you.
That sounds great.
But yeah. So what is it you love about contributing to DIY projects like that? Like, so that was obviously just like one night on Twitter, but I know you do that anyway. You do that.
As much as I can. Yeah, and like, it's weird. I think the older I get, the harder I find it to stay connected to things and the less time I seem to have. I seem to have no time ever. But I just feel like DIY is my sensibility. I like making things on my own terms as quickly as possible. And I like doing as much of the creative work as is possible and being a part, being really connected to all of that part of it. I just think it's the coolest way and it's the way to keep things relevant. And I think things creatively need to come out as soon as they're written to feel like they capture the time around them and can be fully understood in context. And so I think that that's very, very important. And I just think as well, like, it's like the truest way to, like, control the means of production, you know? It's, like, it's radical and it's important, especially when there's so much kind of mechanisation and chain style of leisure. I think it's really, really important. Yeah.
And was there anyone in particular that made that stand out to you? Like, you first saw DIY and it was person...
Yeah, Geoffrey Lewis. I love Geoffrey Lewis. When I was sort of at uni, seeing the way he did his tours, he does his tours so independently. And not just that, he's a comic book artist, he's a singer, he's a songwriter. He has all these diverse interests and he writes in very diverse ways. And I love the fact that he did tours where he stayed on people's sofas and he organised lounge gigs and all that whole alt... folk. Was it called alt folk? The word alt is fucking ruined now. Anti-folk. Yeah. All of that anti-folk lot. I just loved how humane and raw the connection felt and how giving it felt. Like, they wanted to know their fans. And I think the reason I wanted to start touring as a comedian was because I wanted to meet creative people around the country, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love zines and I love comics and I love small presses. And I think things like that, they just have a better connection.
Right, yeah, yeah.
They're more real, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one final list of questions here is, my mate Thomas Hind asks if you will endorse him for the rector at Glasgow Uni.
But what about Piss Pig Grandad? I know all about this because my friend contacted me and I was going to run for the rector of Glasgow Uni. I was going to run for that. And then they were basically like, we don't need you, we've got Piss Pig Grandad. And I was like, fair enough. Piss Pig Grandad is a guy from Twitter.
Right.
Who is like one of these like communism irony boys. There's this guy who went to fight ISIS in the PKK, which is like the socialist army, the Kurdish socialist army that is like trying really hard to be progressive and fight everything. And like incredible. And he went to fight for socialism against ISIS. He's just like this nerdy guy from Brooklyn. He's like an ironic Twitter guy. And they've asked him to be the rector of Glasgow.
Okay.
So he's my first endorsement. But who's your friend?
He told me that the only thing I need to mention, because I'll admit, I didn't even know what a rector was. I had to Google it. So he says, the only thing I need to mention that'll make his campaign pledge stand out to you the most is that one of his pledges is to constantly call Milo a ball bag.
I love it. Fuck Milo. Fuck Milo.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Go. The worst part is, you're stupid. You're not as clever as you think you are. Stop it. And that's for me. I'm fully prepared to admit I'm stupid, but nonetheless. Ugh. You can have my second endorsement after Piss Pig Grandad.
Cool.
Although, to be honest, he probably lives nearer and he's not currently in Iraqi Kurdistan, but nonetheless.
Right. So, finally, is there anything you'd like to add or get off your chest at the end of the chat?
I'd like to add thank you for listening to me.
I'll say that as well, thanks.
I'm very excited for the second half of this year. I'm working very, very hard touring at the moment, and all I want to do is write, and the second half of this year I'm going to write a lot. Also, me and my friend made a feature film last year, but it's still being edited by him. He's got to hurry up. That'll come out.
Cool.
And it's set in Glasgow.
Yeah. And finally, just want to double check. So I was going to name the title of this episode since it's the second time we're chatting. Josie Long 2, Josie Longer.
I love it.
Is that fine?
Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Because
it works a lot better than when I did it with James Acaster, when it's James Acaster 2, James Acasterer. That doesn't really work, but I called it that as well.
I like it though.
That was my chat with Josie Long. Thank you very much to Josie for agreeing to appear on the podcast again. Always a nice time when she is on. If you want to keep up to date with what Josie is up to, she is on Twitter at Josie Long, and then her website is josielong.com. And just a little update, since having that chat, I have seen the film Get Out, and it is amazing. It is a very good film. I jumped once properly out of fright, and the rest of the film I was sort of like in my head going, oh, what's happening? What is happening? Oh no. And I think you'll agree from those last couple of sentences, I should definitely be a film reviewer. That is an avenue I should go down of reviewing films. But yeah, thanks for listening to this, guys. I don't quite know when the next episode will be coming out, but you'll know if I've been successful in my attempts to get any of the Avengers on the podcast if you see episode 50, The Avengers, come up. And that would be a good one for the 50th, right? Big old Chris Evans, the Hollywood one, coming on, chatting about what he likes. Oh, that'd be good. But yeah, thank you for listening to this, guys. I've been a right rambly boy today. Goodbye. If you like this podcast, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Chats4You. And it'd be great if you could also leave a glowing 5-star review on the iTunes store. That'd be good as well. Nothing less than glowing though, just the glowing ones. You can also follow it via iTunes and your RSS feed via subscribing to it. But you probably knew that already. I don't need to tell you about. You probably knew subscribing to a podcast was a thing, and you'd quite like it if people stopped asking you to do it, because you're your own person and you can make your own choices. Isn't that right? Yeah, I'm on your side, guys. But still, please subscribe. It's all I have. Bye.